Very good to see all of you here this morning. Our sermon this morning is going to begin over in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 1. Here the text in the Word of God reads, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." That's the New King James Version of the verse. The New American Standard Version reads this way, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven." I want you to notice two words here in these verses. One of them is purpose, and the other is appointed. When you have an appointment, that means that at a certain point in time, it is understood that this is what you're going to be doing at that time. When you have purpose in time, this is the idea that over here I have this amount of time in the day, and the purpose is what I'm going to be doing with this time. Purpose time is a conscious choice and decision of what I am going to do with the time that God gives me, and appointed time is the time that you're going to do it. So it is the idea and the understanding that at this time, this is what I'm going to be doing. And then at this time, I'm planning to do this. Our sermon this morning is going to be a study of how there's a time for every purpose, an appointment, and how to live life with time. You have to purpose it right up front. Purpose is intention. It is not floating. You do not float through the day without purpose. Purpose is I am going to do this at this time. An appointed time is where you already understand that this time is designated. It is blocked off. And during this time, I have an appointment. This is what I'm going to be doing. In Numbers in chapter 9 and verses 2 through 3, here in speaking to the children of Israel, it says that the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. And then in verse 3, "On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time." Here you're dealing with the Passover. And I want you to notice how the Passover is referred to. It is referred to as an appointed time. The day of the Passover was an appointed time. Even the time of the day that it was to be observed was an appointed time. Now, I guarantee you, everybody here this morning, you adults at least, you understand appointments. Often I hear some of you saying, "I got a doctor's appointment." And so what this means is, I am supposed to be at the doctor's office, and they give you a time that you are supposed to be there. And so when you have an appointment, it's understood, I'm going to the doctor, that's the purpose. And this is the time I'm going to the doctor. That is appointed time. It is when it is understood at this time, this is the purpose, this is what we're going to do. In our life, we need to have priorities when it comes to appointed time and time for purposes. In Matthew 6 and 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we are dealing with priorities in life, what is truly the most important, at the very top, always, first, comes God. If God is not the top priority in your life, always, something is seriously wrong. God must always take top priority. So when you're dealing with purpose time, especially time for worshiping God, that is an appointed time. Going over to Acts 27. "Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." I want you to notice the first day of the week. That is an appointed time. The first day of the week is the day that Christians come together to worship God. Please let that sink in. So when you're prioritizing time, At the very beginning, at the very top of it, must come God. And in that process, what must come first is understanding the appointed time of coming to worship God on the first day of the week. We are coming together every first day of the week, Bible class beginning at 10 o'clock. It's an appointed time for Bible class, an appointed time for worship. That's blocked off. That's understood. When this time of the week comes, this is where I'm going to be, and this is what I'm going to be doing with that time. I am going to be worshiping my God, and I'm going to be studying from the Word of God. So when you're dealing with appointed time, first comes God. Hebrews 10:25, you know this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's an appointed time. You do not forsake that assembly. You do not forsake that appointed time of coming together to worship your God. Let's go further with this. In Hebrews 3:13. Here it's talking about, again, prioritizing your day and what you're going to be doing in the day. And it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. As you go through life, there's going to be times when you're going to find brethren who are going to be hurting physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you don't see these things coming, folks. You don't plan those things in life. But when they do come, that's when you drop balls and let them hit the ground and realize, this brother needs my help, and they need my help not tomorrow, not next week. They need my help now. Do you see the urgency in this verse? It is trying to teach us how to live within time when you don't know what's coming, and there are going to be problems that you don't see coming, that you can't put on your budget schedule and your time schedule. And so when those moments come, you need to realize, okay, this is where I am. This is the situation. It takes priority. They need me, and they need me now. And so when those moments come, you understand where you are, and you seize that moment, and you do what you're supposed to do, and weeping with those that weep, and bearing one another's burden. When you weep with those that weep, and bear one another's burdens, you're not wasting your time. You're not having a bad day. You're living your day and you're living your time exactly the way God wants you to. Yes, you may have to let some other things go, but people who are in need, especially brethren, take priority of your time. Now in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 9 and 10. Here in verse 9 it says, live joyfully with a wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. And then in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Those are the two things I want to get from the text. If you study the book of Ecclesiastes, it is dealing with life under the sun. How are we supposed to live our life? And in this book, it tries to lay out for you priorities about how to live life. First comes God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's man's all. But then comes family. 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 You need to purpose time for family. Understanding that your wife and your husband and your children, they are not things to be cast aside and not thought about and just live in the same house with you. They are family. And they need to be purposed and appointed as time to be spent with them. Yes, there's a time to work. There's a time to work. And whatever work it is that you do, that's that time of work. How many of you, when you have a job, you have an appointed time, don't you? I guarantee you. Does your boss say, just come on in whenever you feel like it? No. Your boss says, you be here and you be here at this time. You have an appointed time for work. So you go to work, yes, and whatever work it is you're doing, you do it with all your might while you are at work. But listen to me, folks. When you leave work, you leave work. And then you have appointed time for family. For family. In Proverbs 24:27. prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. Most of the folks at this time in history were farmers. If you've ever worked at a farm, you know it never stops, does it? And so you get up and you go out and you're working in the fields. But then after you stop working in the fields, guess what? You come home. You come to your house. How many of your houses take care of themselves? Oh, no, there's work around the house that needs to be done, keeping the house up, and then chores within the house. And so what you're dealing with here is, okay, I'm working, I'm taking care of my job. Okay, now I'm doing my job. Now I can come home, and guess what? There's things around the house they need to be taken care of. But listen to me, folks. After that also, you take care of your home. Your house is your house. Your home is the people that are there. The people that are there that are living there. In Deuteronomy 6 and 7, please look at this verse with me. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And notice how he says to do this. You shall talk with them when you sit in your house. Your children are your children. Your house is your house. Spend time taking care of your property, yes. But let me tell you something, folks. What lives in your house is more important than your house. Your children and your spouse are the great physical treasures of your life that God is entrusting to you. Make appointment and purposed time for them daily. Do not just live in the same house and walk by each other. Interact with each other. Love one another. And when you're dealing with the children especially, you take time to diligently teach them. Look at how he says here to do this. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Do you realize that in that text what you have is appointed time for teaching children? You hear you are, you're sitting in your house, you're sitting at the dinner table. Okay, that should be not just a time to eat, but an appointed time and understanding while we're eating, I'm going to talk to you about God and His Word. If you're in the car with them and you're driving somewhere, turn off the radio, turn off the screen, and talk to your children and teach them. Understood that when you're getting up in the morning, yes, work is going to be there. But before you run off to work, spend time with your children, praying with them, meditating on a scripture. At the end of the day, when you're going to bed, pray with them, talk with them, read scriptures to them. What you see here are farmers who work from sun up to sundown, seizing the moments that they purpose and appointed for teaching their children. Now then, please understand this importance. Your children are not going to absorb the Bible by having it on a shelf. You have to take time to work with them, to read to them, to give them memory verses, to ask questions of them, to go over it and over it and over it and over it. In the moments when you see here that they're walking by the way, you're going to bed, do you see them free, just seizing those free moments? And it's understood when these moments come and we're going to bed, that's an appointed time to talk about God. When we get up, that's an appointed time to talk about God. When we're walking, that's an appointed time to talk about God. Yes, there's time to work, but there's time that must be set aside. Talk about and teach God to our children. If you are not doing this, you're missing it completely as a parent. The reason your children are entrusted to you is for you to train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, because what you want for your children more than anything is for them to make it to heaven. And they're not going to get there by accident. Where it's going to primarily be done is by you diligently teaching them to your children with the appointed time. And at appointed time, it's understood, okay, this is what we do at this time. It's time to do this. So you do it at time. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this. How many of you, when it comes to your finances, how many of you think, I got some money, I think, What are you going to do with it? I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of floating through the day and floating through the week with my finances. I hope there's some money in there. Oh, here comes a bill. I hope I got some money to pay for it. If you, anybody here thinks that way, if you do, please talk not to me, maybe to one of the elders. Because you got financial problems. You don't float through life on your finances, do you? If you do, you got problems. You budget it. You understand what's coming, and you plan. You make a plan financially. You understand the importance of making a plan financially and budgeting money. Make a plan and a time budget. Plan your time. Don't just float through life. In Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 16, from the New American Standard Version, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So how do you walk as a wise man? Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. The other translation, the New King James, says walk circumspectly. So the idea is you're being careful how you walk. You're paying attention to where you are, and you're paying attention to where you're going. And then he takes this and applies it to time, making the most of your time. To make the most of your time, you need to do as best you can to see what's coming before it even gets to you. Over the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 9. It says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Planning your ways. As best as you can, try to see what's coming today and tomorrow. And as far as you can see into the week in the future. And start setting aside budgeted time. Appointed time. Purpose time for purposes that at this time, on this day, this is what I'm planning to do. Now, as I told you in the very first part of the sermon, sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men, what they'll say goes, it just don't work out the way you planned it. Why is that? Because we don't know what's coming. You really don't know everything that's coming within a day or a week. So as best as you can, yes, you plan it out. God knows what's coming. You know, that good Samaritan, he didn't plan to find that wounded Jew on the way down Jericho. You don't plan for disaster to come into people's lives. Your life is the life of others. That's why I said sometimes you've got to see where you are and recognize the significance. This person needs my help. And so sometimes you let some balls hit the ground. But this does not mean that you just float through life. Let's go further with this in Proverbs 21 and 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The rest of the verse says, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Here you're dealing with plans. Somebody that's diligent, somebody that stays on top of the situation. When you're diligently doing something, you're getting into it and you're getting hard and you're not letting up. But notice the last part of the verse, the person who is hasty. Hasty. You heard the old cliche, stitch of time saves nine. I've never done any sewing, but I understand what he's talking about. Proverbs 19 and 2, it says, he who hurries, his footsteps errs. Have you ever try to do something and you do it quickly because you know you're so busy, you got things to do. And so you get to something and you're trying to do it and do it quickly. And as you're quickly doing it, you start messing it up. And as you start messing it up, you start getting nervous because you're busy. I'm busy. I got time for this thing to mess up. So now I've got to do it even faster. How does that work for you? Not very good, does it? It just gets worse and it starts creating what I call a snowball. A snowball of frustration, a snowball of mistakes, and whenever you've got that snowball going, a frustration because you're busy and you're worried because it's falling apart, and so now I've got to do it even faster. No, listen to me real close, please. I'm speaking from experience here because I'm one of the worst at this. There are times I just say, stop, Wayne. Just stop and sit down. And you know, whenever you're busy, how easy is it for you to stop sometimes? especially when you have budgeted your day. And you're sitting here and think, well, I got all these things to do. Listen to me. Planning a day and living the day the way it needs to be lived are not necessarily the same thing. You may have a budgeted time, but you don't know, even when you're trying to do something, you say, how long it's going to take to do it. Because you may think, okay, I can do this in this amount of time, but you weren't planning on your computer breaking. You weren't planning on some part of the machine falling apart. You weren't planning on something else happening. You do not know exactly how everything is going to work out through the day. And so whenever you find yourself getting behind, so you got to go faster, what happens? You take one step forward, two back. You ever done that? Sometimes you need to slow down and get the emotions out of it to where you can get your focus back in to where you are. Sometimes the best thing to do is just slow down with something that you've got to do, take care of. Now let's go back to Proverbs 14:15. The prudent considers well his steps. Okay, now this is going back to what we were reading back in the very beginning as part of the sermon. Therefore, be careful how you walk. The prudent man considers well his steps. You're looking at where you're going and making a decision on where you're going in the present. Again, over in Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. We've talked about this before with the word circumspectly back there in Ephesians when he says walk circumspectly. You do this when you're walking. You're looking. You're paying attention. How many of you walk with your eyes closed and just kind of float through the day? No. You look. You see where you are. You see where you're going. You do that when you drive. You look in the rearview mirror. You look ahead. You look around. You're paying attention to where you are. And you're making a decision on what you're going to do right now or what you see coming. In budgeting the day and the time as best as you can, try to see what's coming and appoint it and purpose it to where you think, okay, this is the plan. This is how I am intending on spending this day. But again, remember, you don't really know what all's coming in the day. Exodus 16:22 says, so it was on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And this text here we're dealing with children of Israel. And you know, when they went out and they picked up the manna, they had an appointment. They had to get that. They had to get the manna. But whenever the day before the Sabbath came, whenever Friday came, they were instructed by God to get twice as much. Because on the Sabbath they were to rest. All I'm trying to bring to your attention is they understood what was coming. They took care of what was coming in the present. The decisions of the present are based upon wisdom and foresight of trying to see what's coming as best you can. That is proper living in time. Budgeting time. Time with purpose. Appointed time to where you're breaking it down and saying, okay, this is the way I'm planning to live the day. If you just float through the day like you float through finances, your day and your finances are going to be in a shambles. They have to be thought out before you get there. Now, using your time wisely in the present. I want you to notice the combination of these two verses. In James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And now Matthew 6:34. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. I do not believe these verses are saying don't plan for the future. I believe what they're trying to teach you is live in the present. Don't get so consumed at looking at what's coming in the future that you don't pay attention to where you are right now. Learn to live in the now. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. So So you've got to live where you are right now. As I told you earlier about the Good Samaritan, he did not see what was coming around the corner when he walked around the corner and there was a half-dead man naked laying on the ground who had been beaten. He didn't plan that. But he lived that day the way the Lord would have him live it. He had a great day that day. Did it fit his schedule? No. You have to live in the now. You have to see the moment as it comes to you, and then as a Christian, live that moment to the glory of God the way he would have you to. One of my favorite verses from the Old Testament is Psalms 118 and 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is where we are. Right now is where we are. This day is the day the Lord has made. I cannot change the past. And I have sinned in the past. What should I do about the sins that are in the past? Ask God's forgiveness of them and look forward. I do not even know whether I will be alive tomorrow. I can plan for tomorrow, but you do not live in tomorrow. You do not live in yesterday. You live in today. You live in the moment. You live right now. And so you use your time wisely right now. In Proverbs 25, 30 and 25, it says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. And then again, Exodus 16 and 21. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. I wanted to put these two verses together because one of them is dealing with ants. And there comes a point in time when they have the harvest that's there to bring it in. Because winter's coming. And there's not going to be any food for them to gather in the winter. And so they have to start getting it when it's there. Have you ever heard you say you got to get it while it's good? How many of you older folks know what a harvest moon is? I guarantee every older person here knows exactly what that is. What a harvest moon is when the harvest comes in, it's a full moon, you work all night. Because the harvest is there. And you need to get it while you can because you don't know if it's going to rain the next day. And it's going to get trapped out there in the field. And so while you can get it, you get it. The children of Israel, when it came to getting the manna, they had to get it before the sun came up hot. Whenever the sun was up and it was hot, it melted. And so what if you came in late to get the manna? Well, I'm planning to get the manna. I'm going to be there at sunrise. And, the baby's sick. I got to change the diapers. I got to do this. I'll get there. What happened when the sun got hot and you didn't have the manna? You went hungry is what happened. You see, whenever you have time to do things, we have to have the discipline to do it. I'm going to say that again. When you have an appointed time to do something, whether it's time with your wife, time with your husband, time with your children, time at work, time to worship God, we have to have the discipline to do it and not just float into it. Appointed times means discipline to do it. You've got to go through the door while the door is open. You've got to get it while you can because it may not be there when the sun comes up hot. Now, how many of you ever feel like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland? I'm sure a lot of you are going, what is he talking about? I'll remind you, I'm late for a very important day. Hello, goodbye, I'm late. How many of you described your life? I'm always late for everything. I'm late. I gotta go by. I'm late. Appointed times. When you have a doctor's appointment, I need to be here at this time. If I'm gonna teach my children, this is the time to do it, and we're just gonna do it. And if I'm gonna spend time with my wife, I'm gonna do it. I want you to look at Proverbs 31, because I often hear people say, I just don't have enough time. Okay. If that is describing you, this part of the sermon is specifically for you. In Proverbs in chapter 31, she also rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. Then look at verse 18. In verse 18 it says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Now you may be wondering, what's the point, preacher? The point is this. If you feel like you don't have enough time in the day to accomplish the deeds and the purposes in the day and the appointments in the day, you just don't have enough time, then get up earlier and go to bed later. You may be thinking, well, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I'm talking about. This is what you need to do. If you find yourself not having enough time in the day to meet your appointments, then what you do is you get up, if necessary, while it's still night. You get up earlier to give yourself more time in the day, and you continue working even into the night, if necessary. Yes, you just get up earlier and go to bed later. But look at the next verse. There's a reason I put this one in here. In Proverbs 31 and 27, it says, she watches over the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. The bread of idleness. If you didn't have enough time, the problem may be that you actually have all the time you need. It's just, what are you doing with your time? If you're spending all day watching your television or with your computer or playing games, you're not using your time wisely at all. It's time to turn off the screens and understand what takes priority is God first and family and children. You need to have discipline to not get consumed with what we call me time. Me time, okay, play a little game for a little while, but be careful that you don't sit there playing game after game after game after game after game after game. And I'm watching television and just surfing up and down, up and down, up and down, trying to find anything remotely that will eat up the time. And when it just happened, it ate up the time. The time is now gone. The time that should have been purposed and appointed is now gone. Have discipline to appoint your time, to purpose your time, to budget your time. And not just float through life. And I was talking about, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. Have any of you ever felt like Satan attacks on Wednesday afternoon? Or Sunday morning? And you're walking out the door and that's when the baby gets diarrhea. And you're walking out the door and you've got your baby on your shoulder and she vomits on you. And it's like, no, you can't go to Bible class. No, you can't go to worship services. It's almost as though Satan is saying, hit him again, hit him again, hit him again. You don't know what's coming. You don't know when the baby's going to get sick. You don't know when the baby's going to have diarrhea. You don't know when the car's going to fall to pieces. You don't know what's coming. And as best as you can, you try to see what's coming and budget and discipline time, with appointed time, with purpose time. Have any of you ever known men and women that were in the military? I have. They're early for everything. You get up in the morning to go somewhere, they've been up already. They wake up at 5 o'clock every day. Even though they've been out of the military for years, they're up and they're ready to go. And they're always standing there waiting on me. Every man or woman that's in the military is always waiting on me. You know why? They've been trained to be disciplined with time. It is now part of their makeup and their character. It's who they are. They did it for so long. that it is now part of just who they are. Actually, I like that. Budget your time. Discipline yourself in the use of your time. And if you find that you're just idle with your time, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. And you need a purpose and a point and block off and budget. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to do the best we can to do it at that time. It's not on the sermon outline, but in Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul purposed in his heart that he was going to make it back to Jerusalem before the Passover. You remember that appointed time? And so what he did, he shaved his head. He shaved his head because he took a vow. And as he was going from Corinth, he went over to Ephesus, and he was going back down to Jerusalem. Over there in Ephesus, people came to him and said, "Oh, Paul, we're so glad you're here. Stay. Stay here with us. Go with an opportunity opening." You know what Paul did? Paul said something that we need to learn to say. He said, "No, I'm going back to Jerusalem." That word is one of the most important words to learn in life. How many of you feel like this describes your life? And you got all these things that are crying out for your time and your attention. And then someone comes along when you're juggling, they go, "Oh," and they say, "Can you handle this?" And they just sort of, okay, and they just stick it in there. And you go, "Ah!" And you're trying to juggle. I want to teach you a word. And the word is, no! I can't do that. I'm already over budget. Learning to say no is one of the most important words to learn in life. Rather than overextend yourself in time, spread yourself so thin that you don't do anything very good. Learn to say no. So you can learn to say yes to what is really important. And what is really important is you and your relationship with God. Your family, and you, and your husband, and your wife, and your children, all of them, and your cousin. And yes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. But I want to close the sermon with this verse. In Ecclesiastes 11:6, "In the morning sow your seed, in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." The reason I want to close with this particular verse is because you're doing one thing in the morning, okay, and after you've done that, you let it go. You just sort of shut that off. Okay, I've done that. Now it's time to do something else. When you have accomplished one task, close the door. Break focus. Come over here and see, okay, now then, what is facing you? What needs to be done? What takes top priority in this moment where I am? And when you see where you are, you understand where you are. You do what a Christian should do in that moment. And the day is from moment to moment to moment. And as best as you can, you sit down even before the day and the week comes, and you see what's coming as best as you can. And you're drawing out a budget, a time budget, where you are appointing and purposing time. And then as those times come, you start moving even ahead before you get there. If you have a doctor's appointment tomorrow at 3 o'clock, how many of you are going to leave at 3 o'clock? No, you're going to realize, okay, the doctor's appointment is at 3 o'clock. It's in Tyler. We got to leave at this time to where we have enough time to get there. And you're doing that, aren't you? You're looking ahead and making decisions about what you're going to do now by looking ahead. That's how you live life. You live life planning as best as you can, with understanding, you don't know things that are coming. You don't know what's coming. You can't plan disaster. You can't plan sickness. You can't plan broken down cars. You just have to deal with them as best as you can. And if you come to the close of the day, and you look at your list of things to do, And you haven't even scratched one of them off. But you live your life as a Christian that day, facing the moments, and did what was needed at that moment to bear one another's burdens, to love your children, to love your husband, to help people make it to heaven, to help them deal with life. You have a great day. And do not judge your life by thinking that you have to cross off everything you've done on your list, because sometimes that's just not the way life happens. But you must not, I want to close with this, just float. Do not float without purpose. Have purpose in your time, purpose in your day, and appointments that you block off, and do the very best you can to keep those appointments with worshiping God, to keep those appointments with teaching your children, to keep those appointments with loving your spouse, to live your life to the fullest. And when you do that, I think we are fulfilling what Ephesians says when it says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You live this way, these scriptures say do it. You're walking as a wise man because you are doing as the scripture says. You're making the most of your time. I appreciate your kind attention. Maybe somebody here this morning, though, who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I would hope that you'd have the desire to open and confess your faith and repent of your sins. We'd be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God and there is sin between yourself and your God, I would hope that you would not procrastinate about it, but that you would deal with it in the now and the present. Repent of it. Come back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We'll stand and sing a song.